WHJE boasts years of pride and tradition. From the booth to the field, the WHJE sports team keeps you on the edge of your seats. Now, the tradition continues. Join Vince Reimer, Wiley Sawyers, John Perkins, and Jesse Smith at halftime for the Greyhound Halftime Show on 91.3 WHJE.
Well, unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, we do not have Vince Reimer here, and we don't have Wiley Sawyers, so you're going to have to do with us. My name's John Perkins alongside Jesse Smith. So far, it's been a pretty lopsided game. Carmel's put on 24 points to HSC's nada, and it's been quite a surprise for both of us. I know some things in the game have obviously shocked you, and if you're just tuning in, we're going to do our best to recap that for you. So both teams came out, and Isaac James, obviously, was the starting quarterback for the Greyhounds, played a very fantastic first drive, but was stopped short before he was able to score and put any points on the board. It was actually picked off in the end zone. And so then HSC got the ball, and through a series of unfortunate events, HSC has put up five turnovers, and Carmel has capitalized on a lot of them. 24, again, nothing. That's three touchdowns and one field goal by Adam Kramer so far, Jesse.
And really, all of these offensive scores have been set up by the defense, but I think I really want to highlight that defensive score by Conway, really setting the tone early, saying, you know what, the defense is here, we're here to play. And Conway, with his second interception of the first quarter, actually takes it back, even takes a big hit as he's going into the end zone, knew it was coming all the way, was able to make it 7-0. And after that, we really saw the offense start to get their confidence back. They were getting great field position, and the rushing game with Isaac James, and the penalties started to cut down as well. But that rushing game with Isaac James really started to move the football.
And you know what they say, a good offense is, or a good defense, excuse me, is the best offense. And obviously that defense has done a great job putting up quite a few points themselves. You credit Jack Conway again, like you said, interception return for a touchdown. But then when your offense starts firing, you've got some things to worry about. And that offense of Carmel, like you said, is very deadly. And I think you've got to credit Isaac James right there. He's really made this whole thing happen. The play calling's been fantastic, but they've really put the control in James's hands. A lot of read options. He's able to hand the ball off to Pascal. He's got an option out to the left side with a guy like Chris Perkins in the backfield. Able to run from that flex bone position. You've got three halfbacks there. You've got your tailback. Then you've got the Falcon, who's on the right side. He kind of plays an offset tight end. Then you've got the A-back, who's on the left side, plays that offense. You've got a guy named Chris Perkins, a guy named Austin Roberts, and a guy named Shakir Pascal, and he can hand any of them the ball. Oh, and did we forget? Isaac James can run the ball as well. He's third on that rushing yard list. Done a superb job as well. Again, the in-air is not really his forte. You got to kind of bring John Lampe in, but they've really started to figure out that the way Isaac James runs that ball and commands that offense, they don't really have a need for John Lampe.
And when it comes down to it, you look at that scoreboard, 24-0. But if you blinked, you really missed the majority of that scoring. A lot of it coming with about 6 minutes or less in the first half. We had two rushing touchdowns within a minute of a half of each other from Shakir Pascal, and then coming right back on that next possession, Sam Story with his second forced fumble of the evening, and Adam Kramer comes in and tacks on the extra three. So for the longest time, it stood at 7-0, 7-0, Carmel trying to get into the end zone. But after a couple turnovers, the defense, like you said, set up that offense, and that's why we had the score we do, 24-0, and some quick strikes by the Carmel Greyhounds rushing attack.
And Jesse, when we were talking before, one of the things we mentioned was that HSC's play hasn't necessarily been unproductive at all. In fact, they've done a good job of coming out and running the ball, but it's just been mental breakdowns. It's been those breakdowns. You know, really all the blame lies on Tyler Janey, the quarterback. Again, now he's a junior, so he's coming in here. He's got another year to learn. But at the same time, throwing two interceptions, now he's fumbled the ball about two or three times. You still got to come out in this second half. You're down 24 points, but anything can happen, Jesse. Last week against Ben Davis, the Greyhounds, 24-0. Ben Davis comes out of halftime, shuts down that offense of Isaac James, and is able to put up 28 unanswered points. Now, here's the key, and this is, I firmly believe on this key to victory here. If HSC comes out and they're able to shut down Isaac James for a drive, I believe that you have to keep him in there. I think we saw what happens when you switch the strategy. And they brought in John Lampe as kind of that relief quarterback, and he's very, very readable. You know he's going to throw the ball. You know he doesn't have the wheels that Isaac James does, and he really doesn't have the command in that rushing offense. He's much more of a passing quarterback, and Ben Davis was able to figure him out.
And I'm going to go ahead and give my key to victory. Just protect the football. If you don't turn the ball over in the second half, you might keep yourself into this ball game. Because the reason why the Greyhounds were scoring so efficiently was due to the fact that they had some excellent field position. They started one drive at the 24. They started another one at the 37-yard line. And when it comes down to it, when the Greyhounds are back deep in their own territory and you have to pin them back against their own wall there, that's when the offense starts to sputter a little bit. You get some good drives going, like we saw before the first fumble. You keep the drives going, keep that defense on the field, the fatigue factor, you're going to start seeing some more positive results.
Well, folks, this has been the WHJE Halftime Recap, 24-0 in favor of the Greyhounds. When we come back, we're going to have second half action for you. Stay tuned. We're going to send it back to the station here. You're listening to 91.3 WHJE, the voice of the Greyhounds. And as we send it back to the station, they're going to send it back to us, looks like. So we got about a minute remaining here in this ballgame. Hey, you can never have a good broadcast without having some good technical difficulties. So you're going to have to listen to our voices for a while here. We apologize up front for that. But it's been such a good game so far. And Jesse, I think there's something we got to point out again is really the impact of these penalties. And the Greyhounds really haven't had the opportunity to capitalize on penalties before. You know, coming into this game, defensively, Jack Conway had four interceptions. You got a guy, Noah Burks, with an interception. Mitch Davis has got one. Alex Akins has one. Sam Story, Zach Woods, Kendall Hune. Even Ryan Sondles comes in here with an interception. And most of these guys having multiple interceptions, not just one. But they've never really been able to then convert those defensive plays to offensive points. And I think that's the key there. I think that's defensively the key, is you've got to be able to walk out there and say, hey, look, it's one thing to force turnovers, but it's another to capitalize on those turnovers and then create points. Greyhounds have done that so far tonight. Jesse, if you are the coach here, Coach Wright, first off, who are you sticking to quarterback-wise? Are you going to go with Isaac James or John Lampe, or are you going to maybe mix things up here and try to run that duo set that they do, bringing them in, Isaac James first and second, and then John Lampe third down?
At least the first couple drives, I'm definitely sticking with what got me here in this situation. I think you have to go with Isaac James. Until they figure him out, I really don't see the point in trying to change things up right now. Isaac James brings in, you know, we hear about the dual threat quarterback, but when he's running the option, it's four threats. You have James, you have Pascal, you have Perkins, and you have Roberts even out of the backfield. Roberts himself is averaging over 5 yards a carry so far this season, has over 100 yards, and he gets probably a rush or two a game at most, maybe three. But when it comes down to it, I think you got to leave Isaac James out there. If they do start scoring a little more, you need a veteran presence. I think eventually you can bring in John Lampe, but for the time being, until I see something different, I think Isaac James is your guy.
I don't know. I'm going to agree with you, Jesse. I think that's completely right. But I even think that don't bring John Lampe in. I think you got to keep Isaac James in the ballgame. You know, even if he creates a few turnovers, okay? Like if he fumbles the ball like we've seen him do, if he throws another interception, I think you can't give up on him. We saw that happen last week. They gave up on Isaac James and obviously had to quickly change the strategy when maybe they weren't necessarily equipped or ready to do that. Here's another thing, folks. You've also got to start opening up a little more. I think you got to take advantage with some of the wide receiver screens here. You've got a guy like Austin Roberts who, his yards after a catch, you know, he's averaging 12 yards a catch. Thomas Baldwin, look at this, folks, 20 yards every catch. You got to be able to give this ball to these guys out in the open, make them be able to run that thing out in open space, create some yards after the catch, really move that upfield. They've done a fantastic job thus far, though.
About a minute and a half away from the start of the second half, we're going to take this time to remind you of some other things that WHJE has coming up tomorrow morning. The Ghosts and Goblins 5K. We're going to have some of our DJs out there from our public relations department going to be playing music. It's going to be a great time. Get on out there and enjoy that 5K run. And also, upcoming sporting events tomorrow, we got ourselves a potential doubleheader in girls varsity volleyball. The first broadcast will be at 12:30. Ben Boynton and Sam Biggett will have your call there. And if the Carmel Greyhounds come out victorious in that match, they will play once again at 7 p.m. tomorrow night. And once again, Ben Boynton and Sam Pickett will have your call there. And as we wrap up the fall season, we're really only calling the volleyball and the football games now with an eye towards the winter season. John, I know you're really excited about that. Myself and Vince Reimer will have the call for the boys' varsity basketball season, and yourself and Riley Sawyers will have the call for the girls' varsity basketball season.
And it really is an incredible opportunity. You know, I'm going to be able to get to sit down with some of these coaches. You know, talk about a coach. Scott Bowen there for that girls' team has done such a marvelous job, you know. And even with the likes last year, of course, Jen Marlowe, the Butler graduate, adding to the assistant coach there. She's not coaching anymore, but that girls' team looks to kind of bring some extra fire. They've got some players, some good players, who have decided not to play this year. So obviously some serious adversity facing that girls' team. And the boys, with the loss of Michael Volovic and some of those serious seniors, even James Volovic, you can go on and on here, still got some very, very good talent. But for both of those basketball teams, they're going to need to dig deep into their depth charts, and there's going to need to be someone who can rise up and really fulfill some of those key senior roles.
Definitely going to be very fun indeed to watch a lot of these teams mature. And I'm going to have the opportunity to get to know some of these players. You will have the coaches. I'm going to get to talk to a lot of the players. It's going to be a lot of fun. Stay tuned on WHJE.
And speaking on some of the senior leadership, I think it's also important. Some guys who have really filled those holes, Jack Conway, we got to give him credit. You know, talk about
Absolutely.
A guy who's done a fantastic job tonight on the defensive side of the board with all of his many interceptions, with his fumble recoveries as well. And he really wasn't a guy we expected to do well this season. We really didn't think he was going to be a guy who would rise up and carry that team, and he has done just that. But here's the deal, folks. Before we see Jack Conway, we're going to see that offensive the grounds. Looks like it might be Isaac James. And so HSC coming out here, they're going to be kicking the ball off first. And the way that the defense is lining up, they're lining up to protect that right side of the field.
Trying to go against that onside kick. A big play right here to start the second half. 24 minutes of game time left in this one, and now they're going to break it off a little bit back into the regular kickoff position. Carmel still being very cautious, though, not taking any chances. Again, the ball does have to go 10 yards if they decide to do so. This one is going to be up and away, and that one will be received at about the 40-yard line. And a great job there. That one looking like Luke Parker able to corral that one in, neutralizing that threat at the source. And the Carmel Greyhounds will get the ball at their own 40-yard line.
So if I'm the Greyhounds here, obviously I'm bringing out Isaac James. I'm going to try to keep the tempo up here and keep trying to run that ball. I like that flex bone formation. They're running very well from the pistol, too. Credit that offensive line. They've been opening the game up a lot, allowing Shakir Paschal to get some yards, 5 yards, 6 yard carries each time.
And it will be James, four wide pistol formation with Paschal in the backfield. James is going to hand that one up the middle to Paschal, and he's going nowhere. He's going to be brought down at the line of scrimmage if they give him that forward progress, which they do. Second and 10 on the way for the Carmel Greyhound offense from their own 40.
Give credit there to Ryan Clements. He's a big-time player here, coming in with 45 tackles so far on the season, 30 solo tackles. He's made a lot of things happen there in that linebacking core.
Same formation now for James. He puts the tight end in motion. That's Becker from the pistol. Takes the snap. Hands that one off. Left tackle this time. Trying to stretch it is Paschal. Paschal breaks free at the 45-yard line. He's still on his feet. He's going to be wrapped up close to midfield. He's not going to have enough for the first down, folks, but that's going to set up a third and very short. And going to the perimeter this time, Shakir Paschal.
And you got to give credit there to Jason Baldridge out there. Wide out, nice block he had, keeping that block there without the hole, able to allow Shakir Paschal to get out to that perimeter, get out to the outside and cut it up, make things happen.
Here's where we've seen Isaac James really make a name for himself for these third and short situations off the option. Shotgun formation, three wide out to his right. Tries to shake a couple tacklers. He's still on his feet, and he jets across midfield. He'll be brought down at the 47-yard line. 10:46 remaining in the third quarter. Carmel again leading 24-0, and they move the chains once again. So impressive run right there off the keeper from Isaac James. Had the three, the trips lined up off of that right side, so drawing a lot of that secondary attention. James goes straight to the left. Four wide set this time, three out to his right. James looks over towards the sideline. They have Paschal remaining in the backfield from the pistol formation. James at the 47-yard line left hash, tries to go screen to Roberts. He receives it. Roberts has daylight ahead of him at the 40-yard line, breaks the tackle at the 35. He's going to be wrapped up at the 33-yard line. That's why Austin Roberts is such a dangerous weapon.
And exactly, that's something we talked about too. You got to give Roberts the ball and let him move it up forward for you. Again, receiving, he's got 12 yards a catch. And you really don't have to air it out like a lot of these guys think. He's able to come down with some serious catches. You can throw the ball up to him, but if you just give it to him on a screen, he's able to get those yards for you.
Four wide pistol formation and put a man in motion once again. This time, James is going to keep it. Gets the pitch over towards that outside. Roberts is going to race towards the sideline. Cuts back upfield, and he's going to be brought down at about the 24-yard line. So another first down, getting the ball in the hands of their playmaker. Stops the clock here at about 9:52 remaining. And they're not going to give him that second effort, so it will be a second and two on the way. So chewing up some big chunks of yards here on the Carmel Greyhound offense. Three wide pistol formation, two out to his right. James looks over towards the sideline. Pascal remains in the backfield as the lone tailback. On the 25-yard line, left hash. James goes hard count, takes a snap, hands that one off the middle. Pascal dances to the outside, and he's going to be pushed out of bounds at about the 15, fighting for every extra inch. Shakir Pascal moves the chains, and they're knocking on the door of the end goal situation.
Exactly, and this could be a 30-point lead here if we're talking scoring. By the time Adam Kramer gets done with it, he's tacked on one more. That's 31 here to nothing, and this is exactly the drive that the Greyhounds want to have coming out of halftime.
15 yards away from the promised land, and Isaac James comes back into pistol formation, takes the snap, hands that one back up to Pascal. He's trying to break a tackle, but he's going to be wrapped up behind the line of scrimmage, and a great stop by this Hamilton Southeastern defense, finally neutralizing Shakir Pascal. Going to be about a second and 15 on the way from the 20-yard line. So 9:05 remaining here in the third quarter. And working exclusively from the pistol formation has been James in this second half. Four wide set, three out to his right. Pascal remains in the backfield. James looks over towards the sideline for additional signaling. 24-0 again is your score. Carmel Greyhounds driving, and they have that lead. 8:44 remaining in the third. James takes a snap. This time, quarterback keeper gets a pitch. That one out to the outside. Roberts. Roberts tries to go and head towards the sideline. He's going to be brought down at about the 14. So gaining a lot of those yards back, setting up a third and manageable. Looks to be about a third and seven. Just trying to look at it right here. 8:26 remaining in the third quarter. And third down time for the Carmel Greyhounds.
And again, you got to also give credit to that wide receiving core there. A lot of times you're not able to really give them the recognition for being able to hold blocks and create the space on that perimeter, create the space outside there. Colin Pearson doing a good job on the outside there to try to create some space.
Third down and nine. James looking to air it out. Under pressure is going to run this one. Trying to dance to the outside. And a huge block by Austin Roberts. He's going to take a slide at about the 10-yard line. Takes a huge shot. He will not have enough for the first down there. So we'll be about a fourth and five, trying to look over towards that sideline. We're going to wait to see. John Lampy's going to come and rush out onto the field, and the Carmel Greyhounds are going to go for it. Fourth down and five from the 10-yard line. First time we've seen Lampy in the second half with 7:35 remaining in the third quarter. Four wide, three out to his right. Lampy has time to throw, looks over, fires a bullet, but that one's going to be just wide of his intended target. That one was Roberts. And a turnover on downs by the Carmel Greyhounds on a drive that started so promising.
Jesse, that's kind of a controversial decision, in my opinion, to bring John Lampy onto the field. Obviously, Isaac James is not the throwing quarterback that we're used to seeing, but at the same time, John Lampy is. Everybody knows he's the guy that throws the ball, so when you bring him on the field at fourth down, you've only got one down to work, you know what John Lampy's pretty much going to do. He's going to throw that ball. That creates a very predictable style of offense, and now HSC's got the ball. Granted, they've got the ball past their 10-yard line. Their backs are to the end zone. Look for the defense here to step up big.
Shadows of their own goalpost with 7:28 remaining in the third quarter. First down and 10 from their own 10. It will be Hardy in the backfield. He receives the pitch, trying to get back to the line of scrimmage, but he's going to lose about 4 yards on the carry, actually five. A second down and 15, and inching themselves backwards even more now at their own 5-yard line. Clock continues to tick away here in the third quarter. 7:10 and counting. 24-0 is the lead for the Carmel Greyhounds as HSC will break huddle. Janie will go back under center. He has two wideouts, one on each side. Hardy remains as the lone tailback in the backfield. Janie will take the snap. Looks to throw over towards that right side. That one sails off the hands of Zach Woods. And that one's going to bring up a third and 15, 6:47 remaining here. A lot of clock ticking away early on, a very fast-moving quarter. Again, the Carmel Greyhounds leading 24-0 are going to get the football back.
And so, again, if you're HSC here, still third down, so they've got one more shot. And so third and 15 here, again, when you're down 24-0 and your back is literally to that end zone, you've got a deep third down here. Obviously, that coverage is starting to cheat a little bit. They know that there's a pass.
Two wides, both out to his right. Janie looking to pass. Blitz coming under pressure. He's going to be brought down. The football is out. Let's see who came up with it. And that one looks to be a safety for the Carmel Greyhounds. That makes it 26-0. And you can credit that to the entire defensive line just getting in there and the pressure. A lot of the guys getting there at the same time. Nowhere for Janie to go, but give Janie a little bit of credit here on that play, able to hold on and avoid the touchdown.
And so what about that defense of the Greyhounds? Not only two interceptions, not just one forced fumble, not just one fumble recovery, but now a safety. They're kind of going for the cycle, if you will. Talking about these football terms here, what a great job that this defense has done so far to now give not just 2 points to that scoreboard in favor of the Greyhounds, but they've got the ball back. You're giving Isaac James another shot to put some more points on the board. There's still 6 minutes and 40 seconds remaining here in the third quarter. You've got a full quarter to go. Obviously, I don't see Carmel relenting on this attack anytime soon.
John, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Are you bringing Isaac James back in as your quarterback?
100%, hands down. You got to bring Isaac James back in the field. I mean, you just brought out John Lampe through an incomplete pass, and you turned the ball over. I don't think there's any debate here that Isaac James is the man who's moving the team forward. Folks, it's easy to look at players and value their skill over their ability to play as a team and their chemistry. Oh, Isaac James isn't a better thrower than John Lampe by far. John Lampe's got the better arm. Everybody knows that. But the way Isaac James is able to come in and control that team, the way he's able to make decisions, I think there's a big difference here. He's a decision maker. He's a leader on the field. John Lampe is a leader as well. But I think with this offense that Carmel's running, this quick, fast pace, running style of offense, Isaac James is your guy 100% of the time.
Here comes the punt from after that safety from Hamilton Southeastern. And that one is up and away. And that one, it will be fair caught. So that they are going to get the ball here at about their own 42-yard line. So some excellent field position coming up once again for these Carmel Greyhounds. 6:38 remaining here in the third quarter as they are going to jog back out on the field. Shakir Pascoe looks to be the tailback as he has been for much of the night.
I think defensively here, you've got to come out. And HSC is not known for their defensive powerhouse of a team here. But it doesn't matter. It's a sectional. You got to step up. You got to play. You got to start making some stops.
First and 10 from the flexbone formation. Roberts moves in motion this time. He's going to have to go back and reset to his Falcon position. Off that right hash from his own 42, James goes back under center. They move Roberts in motion once again. The option, he keeps it. James cuts back across the middle of the field, across midfield. He's going to be thrown down at about the 47-yard line. That's an 11-yard gain and a first down for the Carmel Greyhounds.
And normally when you're able to see players like this run over tacklers, it's honestly the culprit is sometimes fundamentals. A lot of times nowadays in football, we see tackling where you're not squaring up in front of the guy. You're not using your weight to your advantage. You're almost letting him run over, and that's you're giving up two or three extra yards at the end of every run.
From the flex bone, they go Pascoe up the middle this time. Pascoe with the spin move takes a big shot at the 40-yard line where he's going to be brought down. A solid gain of about 6 yards there on first down. It's going to set up a second and four from the HSC 40-yard line. Clock continuing to dwindle away. 6:05 remaining in the third. Carmel has a 26-0 lead. So James comes back after receiving the signal. He goes back into a pistol formation. Four wide, three out to his left. Pascoe remaining in the backfield. James off the hard count. Tries to go with the screen, and that one's going to be on the ball. And Shakir Pascoe is going to recover the fumble there. Shakir Pascoe with his second fumble recovery. One of them was his own, and that one, James was looking on the screen trying to get it to Roberts, and Pascoe running into his arm. And that one is going to make it about a third and six coming up from the 41-yard line. James goes into a true shotgun formation now. Four wide, three out to his left off that right hash on the 41. James takes the snap. He's going to run this one up the middle, has some space, jukes around, takes a shot at about the 36. It's going to be awfully close to that first down marker. And they're already marking it fourth down in about a foot here. Decision time for Carmel, and that offense not even blinking. And they're going to stay out there on the football field. Isaac James goes back under center in the flex zone. Fourth and one from the 37. They put Robertson in motion, and now he will have to go back and reset to his Falcon position as James looks over towards that sideline. Clock continues to tick away, 4:42 remaining. Fourth down, Roberts will see the pitch off the left side, trying to race to the sideline. It's going to be close. He's going to have enough for the first down as he stays in bounds. He will be pushed out at the 32.
First down and more there for Austin Roberts. All you got to do is give him the ball, Jesse. We've said it so many times. Whether it's in the air or it's on the ground, he's able to make things happen. He's that go-to guy who's going to begin to move that ball forward. And now you look at Isaac James, who's getting back to the line pretty quickly here. He's starting to roll. He knows that if he can take a shot down the field or even make something happen in the backfield some more, he can put some more points on the board.
Three wide shotgun set. He jets over towards the left side, heads upfield. Jukes a couple tacklers, still on his feet, trying to spin around. He's going to be thrown down. That one looks to be close to the 20-yard line, possibly enough for the first down on the initial marker if they give him that second effort. It's going to be close. Second down and two coming up. They're going to say he was down by contact back close to the 24-yard line. Second and two for Isaac James. 4 minutes remaining in the third quarter. With a 26-point lead, same formation for James as he goes hard count. That looks over towards the sidelines. He has Baldwin, Baldridge, and Roberts, who lines up in the slot to his right. Pascal remains in the backfield as a tailback. Roberts moving in motion, triple option time now. They go Pascal up the middle trying to get to that first down. It looks like he's going to have enough. So Shakir Pascal, who lives his life 4 or 5 yards at a time, but they are very meaningful 4 or 5 yards. Waiting for the official measurement here. And that will be a first down for the Carmel Greyhounds. 3:44 remaining in the third quarter. 26-0. They have the lead. And James is going to try to go back into a shotgun or pistol formation. From the pistol formation, he has a three-wide set, two out to his right. Look for Roberts in the slot. James takes the snap. Hands that one back up the middle. Pascal has some open field, and he's going to be brought down at about the 12-yard line. Awfully close to a first down marker. Looks to be just short, so second down and short on the way for the Hounds.
So a lot of action here on the ground for the Greyhounds. Again, once the team starts moving it forward, there's nothing you can really do to even change anything. And like we always say, Jesse, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And that's just been the story tonight. Obviously, that rushing attack for the Greyhounds, it's working. Don't try to fix it.
Tobias Watkins checks into the game. He receives the handoff, trying to go up the middle. Depending on the spot, he's going to be awfully close to that first down marker. Needed to get across the 11-yard line. Depending on the spot here, waiting for that official measurement. That will be enough for the first down. So Watkins getting a carry as he checks into the game. So 3 minutes remaining in the third quarter. Trying to build on that 26-0 lead. They put a man in motion. James from the pistol, three wide set at the 11-yard line. Hands that one back up to Watkins. Watkins is going to try to dance into the end zone, and he will off the stretch play. And that is going to make it 32-0 in favor of the Carmel Greyhounds.
So, Jesse, you know all cylinders are rolling when you bring in a guy who's only really had one rush as a varsity player so far this season. Tobias Watkins on the left side, able to break a few tackles and run it up into that end zone. Folks, that's another 6 points on the board. You're looking at 32-0 here after that safety. And, of course, Adam Kramer now and trotting out onto the field here, trying to tack on that extra point. And Carmel may be able to say they've gotten up to a 33-0 lead. And they've done a great job, first off, of shutting HSC down and then scoring again. Here is that PAT. And so we're going to call that a good PAT here, 33-0 in favor of the Greyhounds. Jesse, what did you see on this drive that impressed you?
I just saw a bunch of different looks from the rushing game. You can say, yes, they're running the ball, but as many different ways as they are showing the run, I have been quite impressed with the Greyhounds. We saw carries from Pascal. We saw carries from Roberts. We saw plenty of keepers from James. But also, Watkins coming in off the bench and able to finish the job and put it into the end zone. Very great job. And I also want to give credit to that offensive line of the Carmel Greyhounds.
Defensively, though, I think for HSC, obviously the problem for them has been just poor tackling. Now, first off, they're not getting good looks as a defense. They're not aiming for those legs. And that's something my dad would always tell me. My dad, he knew a little bit about football, but the little bit he knew, it was very wise. And one of the things he'd always tell me was, John, tackle at the legs. And we see a lot of this shoulder tackling here from the defense, and it's easy for guys like Shakir Pascal, so powerful, to be able to bounce off of that, spin off of that, and get 5 or 6 extra yards. You got to hit low.
And Kramer looks to kick this one away, a booming kick back towards the end zone. That one is going to stay as Ford is going to take this one up the middle. Ford trying to dance back to the outside. He's going to be brought down at about the 17-yard line. So good kickoff coverage by the Carmel Greyhounds on that one. And throughout the evening as well, off to 2 kickoff return attempts by Ford. But 2:42 remaining in the third quarter. Hamilton Southeastern is trailing by 33 points, and they have the football at their own 18. So Janie and his crew will come back out onto the field, try to get something going. He looks to line up under center here. Ace back formation. They put a man in motion. Janie looking right, tries to get it to his man. That one, a dangerous pass, is going to fall incomplete. Was looking for Austin Hogan. First time we called his name this evening. The tight end for him is in Southeastern. That one falls to make it 2nd down and 10. It's 33-0. Carmel Greyhounds have the lead. Clock stops. Let's see what Janie has in store when they break huddle. Janie comes back out. Looks to go back under center. Same formation. Receiver on each side. Hardy remains the lone tailback in the backfield. Still plenty of time left on the play clock for him. 10 seconds and counting. Janie takes a snap. Hands that one up to Hardy. Hardy dances to the outside. Now cuts back into the middle of the field. He's going to be brought down. A lot of work trying to get back to the line of scrimmage. He's going to gain himself about a yard. So 3rd down and 9 coming up for Hamilton Southeastern.
But, Jesse, you mentioned a position a few plays ago that really hasn't stepped up at all this game, that tight end position. Talk about a guy, Kyle Schrank. He's a junior. He comes in here with 314 yards receiving, 14 yards a catch. They haven't been able to get the ball out to him at all. Really lacking on that passing game so far. Again, never helps you when Genie gets intercepted 2 times by Jack Conway. They still got to take some shots down the field. They got to air it out.
From the shotgun, 5 wide set, 3 out to his left. He's looking deep down the field. Hogan's not going to be able to come up with that one, and Conway was coming in with the pressure and the footsteps. A little 43 on 43 as that falls incomplete. 4th down and 9 coming up. And that was a bullet there delivered by Janie.
And that's still not an excuse there to drop that ball. The ball placed perfectly in the hands. You come up with a big drop there. I mean, there's nothing you can say. You can't take that drop away and give it to Jack Conway. I mean, there's no excuses for a receiver, no matter if you hear footsteps or you don't. If the ball is in your hands, you bring it in and you catch it, especially when you're down 33 points.
We have ourselves a whistle, and it looks like a timeout from Hamilton Southeastern. They have 2 remaining in the half. 1:56 remaining here in the third. Carmel leading 33-0. What is the offensive strategy for the Carmel Greyhounds who are about to receive the football?
I mean, again, Jesse, keep doing what you're doing. There's not much I can say here except let Isaac James do what he's been doing this entire game, the way he's been working the field. And I think it's also important because he's not a one-dimensional rusher as well. And neither is Chris Perkins or Austin Roberts or Shakir Pascal. They're using Pascal as that guy up the middle. He's providing relief. He's drawing in the linebackers there. And when you're able to run kind of that read option, what you're doing is not only you're taking the linebackers and almost that trench core of the defense out of the play. You're able to pitch that ball out to Austin Roberts on the perimeter. He's able to get it out. He's not having to worry about those linebackers. All he's having to do is beat the secondary. And when you've got great receivers like Jason Baldridge and even guys like Thomas Baldwin who are covering on the blocks, you're talking about 14 yards.
Now from the shadows of his own goalpost, the punter fields this one cleanly, almost like a shortstop, just barely gets it away. And that one is going to be fair caught by Baldwin. The ball's on the ground. And let's see who's going to come up with this one at about midfield. It looks like the Carmel Greyhounds are going to be able to. That is Jason Baldridge jumping on top of it. So 1:49 remaining here in the third. Some excellent field position for the Carmel Greyhounds as they are right smack in the middle of the field. Now let's see what Isaac James and this offense have in store. 33-0 again is your score. Carmel in command of this one, leading 24-0 at half. Added the safety and a touchdown. Again, this is the sectional tournament. First round, Carmel, as Lampy's going to come out onto the field. Lampy on last year's team as they were bounced in the first round last year, doing everything they can to avoid a repeat of that, doing a great job as well, as Lampy will hand that one off to Watkins, the tailback. Watkins dancing to the outside off that left tackle is going to be brought down at about the 45. So Lampy coming in to play quarterback now, going with that veteran leadership here, giving Isaac James a little bit of a breather. Second and 5 on the way. So making sure, we've been talking about game reps since we were calling the JV and freshman games last year. John, there's nothing more valuable than a game rep. Making sure John Lampy stays fresh, but he's looking deep to pass. Now rolling out to his right, has a lot of time to throw. Now pressure's coming. He's going to run this one himself, and he's going to lose a couple of yards. So third down and 7 on the way after the sack.
And Jesse, you know I've become a believer in John Lampy. You know, I wasn't a fan of him first out here, but he's really grown on me a lot. But I still have one little issue with John Lampy, and that's he doesn't stay in the pocket to the absolute point of no return. And I think what happens is he ducks out 2 times, and you saw on that play there, he obviously trying to scramble there when maybe the pressure wasn't in his face necessarily. He had a few seconds to throw there, really could have aired the ball out.
4-wide shotgun set for Lampy. Pressure coming up the middle, is able to get that one off to Roberts. Roberts has daylight in front of him at the 40-yard line, stumbles, but he's going to have himself a first down at about the 37-yard line and getting it right where he needed to. A beautiful screen pass there from Lampy, and the rest is done by Austin Roberts on the run. Clock stops with 30 seconds remaining in the third quarter, and they are starting to drive deep into Southeastern territory. Coming back out in the pistol formation, clock continues to tick away as Lampy is going to hand that one off to the tailback. That's Watkins once again. Watkins still trying to fight for some extra yards. He'll gain himself about 4. And Carmel does not have to run another play before the end of the quarter, and I can't imagine that they would. And they will end the third quarter leading 33-0. A very impressive performance by this Carmel Greyhounds team, the entire squad. We're going to send it back to the studio for a quick one-minute booster break. You are listening to the only voice of the Carmel Greyhounds, 91.3 WHJE.
Of sectional number 4, game 1 between the Seminole Southeastern Royals and the Carmel Greyhounds.